I pray, Father, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would begin to speak to them and lift that off of their life. Father, if there's people here today with questions, maybe they're legitimate questions about life. Why am I here? Where am I going? What's the meaning of life? Father, those broader questions that matter most, I pray that you would speak to their heart. Give them answers. Lord, if there are people here today hurting because of death, failed relationships, whatever it might be, you have promised that you are the Father to the fatherless, and Holy Spirit, you are here to give comfort. So please bring comfort into their lives. And now, Father, as we look to your word, pray that you'll be pleased with all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning again. Grace Kids, where are you? Come on out. Just tell them we love them. Hunter and Holly have them today, so that's awesome. Hey, baby. You're so sweet. Awesome. Good to see you. Good deal. If any of you have a desire to work with kids on a serious note, if that's your ministry, where you come from or where you've been, we'd love to help you connect and work with our kids. You can just fill out our little communication card that you have on your program, and we'll get with you and do a little background check, and the check is simply to see that you're safe to work with kids, and we would love to have you do that for sure if you want to, okay? Well, we're going through a series called Let It Go, and here's sort of the idea. The idea is 2018 for some of you were unbelievably great. You had a phenomenal 2018. 18 was just great. Some of you, your 2018, wasn't so good. You'd like a redo. Anybody like a mulligan for 2018? Anybody with me on that? I mean, wouldn't it be cool to get a mulligan for 2018? Well, God doesn't give us that. But what God does do is he allows time to come and go and change. And because of that, we get a new opportunity and a new chance. So we're in 2019, and we're doing this series called Let It Go, because we believe that there are some things that probably prohibited you from having a great 2018, that if you'll let go, let God take care of it, you can have the 19 that you've always dreamed of and always wanted. Now, today we're going to be talking about the little big things in life. Here's what I mean by that. There are some things in your life that you've made really big. I mean, you've made them out to be huge, massive situations. How many of you have ever gotten a phone call, you've seen the number pop up, it's your kids, it's your parents or somebody, and you just automatically assume the worst? Anybody ever done that? I mean, the phone rings, oh no, what have they done this time, you know? Or what's broke down this time? And you've got this huge mountain going on before you even answer the phone, right? That's what's going on. Well, there are some times that what we do in life is we look at situations and we make them these big, huge problems, and really they're sort of the molehills, right? You've heard of making a mountain out of molehill. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to make mountains into molehills today, okay? We're going to do the reverse. We're going to take these big mountain things in our life, and we're going to reduce them down, and we're going to let them go. And we have about three things we're going to talk about. So the first one we're going to talk about is this: the relationships that you're in that are around you that don't help you get where you need to go. Now, let me tell you about the context of the verse we're going to use. We're going to be talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul's in prison. Now, prison back then isn't prison like today. They didn't have cable, air conditioning, 3 square meals, a cot. Now, prison is no Hilton, but it's a lot better than it was 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, when you were put in prison, if you ate, somebody brought you food. If you had clothing, someone brought it for you. If you had bedding, someone provided it for you. If you got sick, someone came and cared for you. The prison system didn't do any of that. You were on your own if you were there. Now, Paul, by this point in his imprisonment, had lived long enough to make some friends and to make some enemies. Has anybody lived that long yet? Anybody with me? Anybody lived long enough to make a few friends, make a few enemies? That's sort of how it goes, right? And so Paul's lived long enough to make some enemies. He's in prison. And what's going on is there's these three groups of people out there running around talking about the gospel. They're the people who really love the gospel, who don't know much about Paul at all. They're just advancing the gospel. And they're sort of out there. Then there's a group of people that know Paul, and they know the gospel, and they love the gospel, but they hate Paul. And so there's a, and I, yes, I said hate in church, right? So they, because you're going to see what Paul says about them in just a minute. And so they really don't like Paul. And then there's another group of people that know the gospel and like Paul. And so he's in prison. And listen to what he says about those people that are out there running around talking about the gospel. And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. Now, he said, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here, meaning in prison, for the defense of the gospel. Now, the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. Now, what then? In other words, he says, what should I think about that? He says, only this, that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, that Christ is proclaimed, in that I rejoice. So Paul says this. He said, there's these people out there who are preaching the gospel for one main reason, to stick it in my eye. They're out there saying, hey, Paul, look at me. I'm running around getting to preach the gospel, and you're in jail. And so they're doing it just to stick it in his eye. Have you ever had friends just gloat? These guys were gloaters. Have you ever had friends who would gloat? You know, maybe they get to go on a trip or get a car or do something you've always wanted to do, and they post it on Facebook 17 times in an hour. Anybody ever seen that? Right? And you're sure they're doing it to stick you right in the face. Maybe they're not, but that's what it feels like, right? That they're sticking you in the eye. So here's Paul. Paul's in prison, and there's these people running around preaching the gospel. And Paul said, they're doing it because they don't really like me. And then he gives the key. Listen, he gives the key to letting go of this. He said, my purpose is greater than my problems or the people who cause my problems. Do you hear what he said? He said, I don't really care what they're doing. If they're preaching the gospel, that's what I'm about. So preach it. You have some people in your life right now who are not helping you get where you need to go. They are not value aligned with you. They don't believe the same things you do. They don't support the same things you support. They're not heading in the same direction you're heading. They're not around to help you. And at every turn, they take an opportunity to say something that guts you, that drags you down, or that causes you to question the direction you're going. These people don't have the right to speak negative into your life. Now, here's how we respond and react to relationships. Every relationship on this planet, every person on this planet, we're to love and to care for. Absolutely to love and care for, no doubt about it. Doesn't matter who they are or what they are. If they know the Lord, we're to love and care that they grow in their faith. If they don't know the Lord, we're to love and care for them that they come to know the Lord. Whatever the situation is, we're to love. But that doesn't mean, listen, that doesn't mean they have the right to link up with us and pull us aside from where we're going and what we're about. They don't have the right to do that. And so here's what the Apostle Paul says, sitting in jail with nothing. He says, look, these guys are out there preaching. They share my purpose. I can let go of the personal stuff and celebrate that we're on the same mission. But they don't get to affect my joy. They don't get to affect my life. They don't get to affect where I'm going. They simply don't get to do that. They don't have the right to impose into my life what God has called me to do and directed me to do. Now, some of you guys have relationships that you've made to be big things. And it's usually people you barely know. But because of their opinion about you, because of what they've said about you, because of what they've done around you, you know what? You've made this huge, big thing. And what you got to do now is reduce it into a little bitty molehill, and you got to let it go. We were driving to see Madison yesterday, and y'all probably know this way to get up. She goes to school in Valdosta. And so we were going up to went up to Lake Butler, and then you take that cut across, you know, over there in Lake Butler, you cut across through Providence, Florida, the most biblical town in Florida. That's my theological joke for the day, and nobody got it. So I'll keep my day job. All right, so Providence, we cut through Providence, and cut over. So there's this car that gets in front of us, me and Renee and Parker, and they're going, I see speed limits 55 on that road. They were going 12. I think maybe they may have topped out at 13, 14. I'm not sure. So we waited until we got the dotted line. We wanted to do it legal, right? I'm just saying it has been known of me to maybe pass when I didn't have the dots, but not recently, last week. But anyway, so I had the dotted line, and so I just sort of go by her. I didn't beat the horn. Nothing rude, just pass by her. So I'm passing by her, right? And she's giving me the universal peace sign. I mean, you guys know the universal peace sign. That's the peace sign minus a finger. Are you with me? Right? And you can guess which one minus. So she's giving me the universal peace sign as I'm zipping by her. And I looked at her and asked her, what am I doing wrong? She's flipping me off. And I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just going by her. And I thought, and Renee and I were sort of talking about it, because, I mean, I'm a bad driver. I mean, I admit I'm a bad driver, right? I take my half typically down the middle. Anybody with me on that? I mean, you know, I sort of take my half down. I shouldn't do that, but I do. So I'm riding by her, and she's flipping me off, and I'm thinking, she doesn't even know me. If she knew me, she wouldn't be flipping me off. She'd be waving, "Hey, Terry, what's up, man? You're awesome," right? But she didn't know me, so she was flipping me off. And so we're going by there, and I'm thinking, because I was thinking about the sermon today, right? And no, this was one of the points. And I'm like, she allowed me, somebody she doesn't even know, somebody's not even her buddy, to impact her day so negatively. I simply pass her on the road, and her brain explodes. She's flipping everybody off in the car. And that's unbalanced. That's broken. And really, sort of sad. Sometimes relationships we make real big, we have to make real small. We have to throw them away. For you to have a great 19, there are some relationships you got to throw away. They don't have the right to influence you and impact you anymore. They don't have the right to do that. No one has the right to steal your joy, to rob you of your walk with the Lord, to impact your life in such a negative way. When you empower people to do that, you rob God of using you to your fullest. So we have to look at that. If you want to have a great 19, you got to let it go. There are some relationships you got to let go of. There's some, you know, because of our community, and many of us have been here for many, many years. I've been here many years. Some of you have been here your whole life. There are people we're still running after to get their approval because they were cool in high school. You're saying, Terry, adults don't do that. Oh, yes, they do. So-and-so was cool in high school, or so-and-so was cool in college, or so-and-so's family's been here for 27 and a half generations, and we're still running after their approval. If they've not linked up with you yet to help you walk with the Lord and do great things for the kingdom, let it go. Let it go. If they've not linked up with you to help you do great things for the kingdom of God, because you're going to be there longer than you're here, we're going to get to that one in a minute, right? Let it go. Just let it go. If people don't share your values and share the love for your family and the love for you, if they're not there to be supportive, they don't have the right to be negative in your life. They really don't. Now, we owe them love and kindness and grace, but we don't owe them access to destroy our lives. We don't owe them that. We owe them love, kindness, and grace. 100%. But we do not owe them access to pull us off the course that God's called us to, because time is too short. So there's some relationships we got to make small, and we got to sort of throw away. I mean, just so you know, people, you could be doing really good stuff, and people are going to be negative. I'm telling you, about just a few months ago, it's been probably a few years ago now, had a guy come up to me and say that I'm the worst preacher he ever heard. I told him he needed to get out more. I said, I'm bad, but there are worse. I mean, I'm not number one at anything. I said, I'm not the best at nothing. I'm not even the best at being the worst. I said, so you know, you got to do that. And he was really serious. I know, like, several years ago, I had a guy come into my office and say, "You're not a Christian." Oh, man, I thought I was. You know, my brain was a little foggy back then most of the day, so I wasn't thinking really good, or I would have had some good comebacks. But so he comes and he says, "You're not even a Christian." Why? Because he started naming all my problems, and they're legitimate. I had some problems. And he started naming all these problems. He said, you're not a Christian because of boom, 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 boom. And he walked out. And you know what made me angry as I got healthy? I actually cared about what he said. That's what made me angry, that I even cared. There are some people in your life you shouldn't care about what they say. You should make what's big in your mind, you should make it small. And you should let it go. Paul had to do that. He was in prison and people were coming after him, taking the holy message of the gospel and using it to hammer him and to poke fun at him and to make him feel bad. Taking the message of salvation and doing that. And Paul had to say, "Hey, wait a minute. I'm removing myself from this. And my purpose is bigger than those people." So Hey, if you're talking about the gospel, but you're trying to get at me, keep preaching the gospel, man, because that's what matters. You have to change your perspective on living if 2019 is going to be better than 2018. The second thing, over in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says we have to lose ourselves. Listen to what he says in Matthew 16, beginning verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever will save his life, he will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, this is not just that verse alone is not just a sermon. And those of you who are in ministry understand that's a big discipleship verse. I mean, that can be books and series. But there's only two aspects of losing yourself I want to talk about today very quickly. One, if you want to have a 2019 that is better than 2018 for some of you, not all of you, you can apply it where it applies. You need to keep your opinions to yourself. No offering today. You need to keep your opinions to yourself. I'll say it. Just because your brain is filled with unbelievable wisdom that should be written down, canonized, and put in every library in America, doesn't mean you should share it. How many of you have had people share these unbelievable nuggets of wisdom with you that you wanted to pick up and throw back at their head? Anybody with me? The right thing said at the wrong time becomes the wrong thing. In 2019, you need to, if you have opinions on it, my mother's in heaven now. But I'm going to tell you something. My mother, God bless her, I loved her. Nobody loved their mother more than I love mine. But if she didn't have an opinion on something, give her 5 seconds. She'd get one. Somebody with me on that? I mean, she would absolutely develop an opinion. I don't have one, give me 5 seconds. I got it. Boom. And then she would fight to defend it. But there's sometimes, man, you just got to keep your opinions to yourself. Everything that's in your head doesn't need to come out of your mouth. Can I get an amen? That is not a rule. Now, my grandmother, God bless her, she died at 94. The older she got, the more she thought if it was here, it needed to come here. And man, it didn't matter what it was. Anybody had a grandmother like that? And I love her and I'd love to have her back. With all that anyway, I'd still love to have her back. But I'm just saying to you, you want to have a great 2019, sometimes you got to keep your opinions to yourself. Because here's what we know. Words are like toothpaste. Listen, words are like toothpaste. Once you squirt them out, you can't put them back. Once you squirt those words out, they don't go back. They're out there floating around. They've impacted people. They've influenced people. They've defined what your character is and who you are. They've already had an impact. So you've got to be careful every day, every moment, what words you spit out and what messages you send around. Sometimes you just got to keep your opinion to yourself. One of the greatest acts of selflessness is realizing not everyone deserves your brilliance. Not everyone deserves it. Not everyone deserves your brilliance. Listen, it is okay to die with a head full of wisdom that's never been shared. It is just okay. Man, God loves you. People are going to love you. You don't have to share it. To have a great 2019, sometimes we just got to keep our opinions to ourselves. Now, I know some of you are mad at me right now. Keep your opinion to yourself. Here's the deal. You share your opinion out of a good heart. I know you do. You've been through experiences. You've been through situations. You've seen things. You've done things. You've made mistakes. You look over and you see somebody doing the same thing, going down the same road, and your heart says, oh, please, don't go down that road. I've been down that road. That road doesn't end well. I want to help you. Please, don't go down that road. I know that's your heart. Truly it is. All joking aside, I know that's what you want. But understand that, I said it earlier, your opinion, the right thing said at the wrong time becomes the wrong thing. So here's what you do. If you have that insight, if you have that wisdom, if you have that knowledge, if you want 2019 to be a year of impact and blessing and not another repeat of 18, here's what you do. God, I can help that person. I can help that person. So I'm going to ask you to orchestrate the time. You orchestrate the time for me to talk to them. And I promise you what's going to happen. If God's in it, you're going to be at the grocery store in a few days, or you're going to be somewhere else in a few days. You may be in St. Augustine. You may be in Jacksonville. And seemingly, miraculously, you're going to run into them. And you're going to start talking. And that might be God's orchestration for you to say, man, I've got a word for you in this particular situation, this particular moment. And man, I want to share it with you. May I share it with you? And man, wait for the timing. Wait for the timing. And God will bless it. I promise you will. Now, here's the second thing. If you can't look at somebody at the beginning of your discussion and say these words, not feel it, not think it, but if these words cannot come out of your mouth, you do not have the right to talk. And here are the words. I love you. I care about you. I'm going to pray for you, and I want to help you. Well, I'm just not that emotional. Then hush. Well, I just don't feel like that. Then hush. If you can't look at somebody in the face, you want to give your opinion, but you can't tell them you love them, then it's about you, not about them. It's about you and your opinion and not about them. If you can't look at them and say, man, I love you, and I am so sorry that you're going through what you're going through. Man, may I talk to you? I have been through something similar. Maybe it'll help, maybe it won't, but I love you and I care about you. Man, I want to pray for you. Can I share with you this? If you can't say those words, I'm going to ask you as your friend to just, you know, die with that opinion, knowing that the world is a lesser place. Just die with that opinion. If you can't tell somebody you love them, and you can't tell somebody you care, if you don't have that capacity, maybe God's not calling you to be an opinion giver. Maybe God's calling you to pray. Maybe God's calling you to serve in a different way. Maybe God's calling you to do something else different in their life. But if you can't look at somebody and tell them you love them and that you care about them, maybe give an opinion is not the right thing. Look, I love you. I want you to have a great 2019. And if you have all of this unbelievable wisdom, I'm being serious. If you've got all this experience and wisdom, and some of you do. You've got all this experience and wisdom that you need to share, but there's something blocking you telling people you love them and care about them, come talk to me because I want to pray for you because there's a problem there. If you can't look at another brother and sister who's struggling and say to them, I love you and I care about you, there's something broken inside and we want to help you because I love you and I care about you. And I want you to be able to use your gifts and your wisdom to help others. So, to deny yourself might be denying yourself the shared opinion. But the second thing is control of your life. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says this, that if you confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you have to come to the place in 2019 where Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Let me just talk to you for a minute about salvation. Now look, this is just us. Give me 2 minutes. I want to talk to you about salvation. I don't know when you think or believe you came to know Christ. Maybe it was at a VBS meeting. Maybe it was a Sunday school class. Maybe it was watching somebody on TV or listening on the radio. I don't know what it was. But regardless of when you think it was, here's what you had to do to be saved. You had to come to the place where you said, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I cannot save myself. You had to come to the end of your rope, knowing that you can't fix the problem that exists between you and God. There is a separation between you and God, and that separation is caused by sin. You had to come to the place where you say, I can't fix that. I've tried. I can't fix it. I've gone to church. I can't fix it. I've done everything I can. I can't fix it. What do I do? Second, you have to believe that Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross for you. He resurrected from the grave, and you have to declare him Lord of your life. That's what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says. You have to confess him Lord. What does Lord mean? It means master and boss. It means he takes control and you don't. It means he's the ruler of your life and you're not. It means he drives the ship and you don't. Y'all know I love bumper stickers. Some of you don't because you're guests, but I love bumper stickers. But there's one bumper sticker I love to hate. You ready? God is my co-pilot. Y'all seen that one? Run him off the road. I'm kidding. Don't run him off the road. Leave me alone. All right? I'm kidding. Don't run him off the road. But God is not your co-pilot. God is not your coach. God is not your co-partner. God is not in a contractual agreement to consult with you in life's problems. He's not a consultant. God is not any of that. God is Lord, Master, and King. You come to him as Lord or you don't come at all. He is boss. He is ruler. He is Lord. One of the things that will keep you from having a great 2019 is keeping control of your life. It's thinking you've cut a deal with God. Oh, I cut a deal with God. Yeah, it was 20 years ago. I was in my office and I sort of cut a deal. God, if you let this... let this lawsuit go away. I'm going to give you my life. You had a really good talk with yourself, but God wasn't involved in that. Well, the lawsuit went away. Well, good for you. But God doesn't negotiate salvation. The negotiation's already done. It's called the cross. Your problem demanded Christ's life. That's the negotiating point. And you have to come to Jesus as Lord. Now look, God loves you. You come to him as Lord, he's got a better life for you than you've ever lived. He's got a better future for you than you've ever imagined. Listen, the horizons that you'll face are brighter and bigger than anything you've ever dreamed of. There's no doubt when you come to Christ, it's an upgrade. It's the highest upgrade you can ever have. So you're not trading down. You've got to get rid of yourself in 2019. Then finally, time. Time, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, many of you know, my favorite. This is one of my favorite texts in all the Old Testament. Also one of the greatest songs of the 60s. Anybody remember Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds? Raise your hands. Don't lie in church. Right? You know you do. It's a great song, man. Turn, Turn, Turn. Well, I don't know if you knew this or not, but it came from this text. This is the text of Scripture that it came from. It came right here from Ecclesiastes 3. It really did. Let me read you what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 3. He says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. How many of you in 2018 had some matters? Anybody have any matters? Got some matters coming up in 2019, right? Some matters. Listen to what he says. He said, now there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. We had a horrific, horrible situation in our community last week. Little Lilith passed away. Robin's her aunt, right back there. Robin Bennett's her aunt. Maurice did the funeral. Maurice is back there somewhere. Maurice did the funeral. Lilith was 6 months old. She was with a sitter. Fine, nothing wrong with the sitter. A little sniffly. Nothing wrong. Lays her down, goes back and checks later, and the baby's dead. You know, the older I get, the more I realized I've not done you guys a service. I've done you a disservice. And so I apologize for something. That's what I apologize for. I haven't kept eternity in front of you very well. I haven't reminded you enough that though God has given us this beautiful life and these wonderful days, that it can be gone in a moment. I haven't done a good job at that. I'm going to do better. So I apologize as your pastor. Because little Lilith at 6 months, happy, sweet baby. Beautiful child. You should see the picture. Beautiful child. Lay down and didn't wake up. She woke up. She just woke up in heaven with the Lord Jesus. 2019, I pray, is a year of awakening for all of us about what is most important. And when it comes to time, you have to surrender your time to Jesus. You have work time. I get that. You have time that you have to be engaged in commerce and taking care of your family. I get that. That's reasonable. But the disposal time you have, the discretionary time you have, what are you doing with it? Sweet little Lilith was called home. She won't have a tomorrow. Or 21st. Birthday. My daughter's going to be 21 on Thursday. The Bible says there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. Time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. Time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, hello. That opinion thing again. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. There's a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. Remember how he started that passage by saying, for everything, there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Lilith passed this week, but there was also a veteran who, I can't share his name because of confidential reasons, but there was a veteran who also died this week. 94 years old. Fought in World War II. He actually fought through the jungles of Germany. And he would come in some and tell stories. And I loved hearing his stories. He talked about tactics and maneuvers. He'd been an officer. And so we sort of talked nerd stuff. And he talked tactics and maneuvers and talked about fighting through the forests of Germany and helping with the conquest of Europe. And he passed away this week. It's coming for all of us. You will not escape it. I love you and I'm your friend, and nobody likes having a good time better than me, and y'all know it. But the sobering reality is this: death comes for us all. Time will end for us all. And this isn't an original thought, nor is it a profound thought, but here it is. You're going to be dead longer than you're alive. So what comes next matters most. That's just rational. I don't think that's too spiritual. I think that's just sort of common sense. What comes next, since it's longer, should matter most, right? That's just sort of common sense. So I want to ask you, it's just us. I want to ask you, if your time ended tonight and you opened your eyes in that instant, where would you be? The Bible says that you're going to spend eternity in one of two places. The Bible says you'll spend eternity either in heaven with the Father rejoicing forever around the throne, or in hell with the devil and his angels, which was not created for you, it was created for them. It's not God's plan for you to get there. He doesn't want you there. It's not his plan for you. His plan for you is heaven. That's what he wants for you. So I wonder if right now you would just ask yourself, if your time ended now, where would you be? Let me tell you what's true. You can't talk your way into salvation when you stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no discussion. You can't give your way. Oh, God, I was intended to give, and you can't buy your way into heaven. It's not a room for rent. A lot of vacancy, but it's not a room for rent. So I wonder if right now eternity is set before you, you see it coming, and you can't avoid it. I wonder where you will spend eternity. Nobody loves you more than your Heavenly Father. He loves you so much. You're saying, Terry, I feel so bad about the things I've done. That's why there's forgiveness. Man, I feel so bad about the decisions I've made. That's why there's forgiveness. Man, I feel so bad about the people I've hurt. That's why there's forgiveness. You can have that unbelievable forgiveness today. Right now. If you want it. I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. Pray with me right now. The greatest 2019 that you could have would be one starting knowing Jesus Christ personally. Nothing greater than that. Here's what you do. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, just pray this in your mind, in your heart. Just pray, hey, Lord, it's me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for letting me pray right now. Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I repent. That means I turn from my sin. Please help me. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. Thank you. Because I couldn't die for myself. Thank you for dying for me. Jesus, I believe on the third day you resurrected from the grave. I believe that. I believe you bodily, physically came out of the ground on the third day. So right now, Jesus, I declare you Lord of my life. I surrender myself to you, believing that you died on the cross and resurrected from the grave. Please forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, come now and fill me. Seal me to the day of my ultimate redemption. If you prayed that prayer or something like that prayer for the first time, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Slip up your hand. Slip up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. Okay, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that after you repent and turn from your sins, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You saw believer's baptism today. We stand ready to do that every single week. We're ready to do it every single week. We're ready to do believer's baptism. In just a few minutes, we're going to be done with our service. I'm going to be down front. Ryan's going to be down here. And we would love to talk to you about baptism. We'd love to walk you through what that means and set that up for you. Please do not leave this building without talking to us. We want to help you take that step. Well, Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for those who have come. Father, thank you for a wonderful time in your word. And Lord, for those who have said, hey, I've prayed that prayer to you. I've accepted Christ. I've surrendered myself to the Lord. I declare him Lord of my life. I pray they'll come forward, Lord, after this, and we can talk to them about baptism, and we can set it up. Father, we don't twist arms and we don't beg here because the gospel is too great to have to be reduced to that. Father, you're too magnificent to have to beg people to want to be in a relationship with you. You're too wonderful, Lord. So we thank you for those you've called out today, those you've saved. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, ushers, come forward at this time, if you will. Ryan's going to come on up. Ushers, come on forward. We're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings as they're coming. A couple things. If you're an electronic person, right here's the code. You just take your phone and take a picture of it. It'll take you to the website, and you can give electronically if you choose to. Or you could give in the plate when it's passed. We give here for three reasons. We give because Jesus is Lord, because the gospel is the most important message in the world. And listen, and because every time you give, your heart moves closer to the Lord. How do I know that? The Bible says that. The Bible says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart goes. If you want your heart moving closer to the Lord, this is how it happens. What the Bible says. So we just believe that you want to do that. Also, guests, please, if you will, give us your information. That's all we want from you is this little card. Prayer request, a reminder again. Please put your prayer request in the plates. If you miss it, keep filling it out. And we have boxes on the doors, as I mentioned earlier. And you can put your prayer request in there and your offering if you choose to be sure. We want to pray for you, but we have to know how to pray for you. So please let us know, okay? Let's pray. Lord, as we give now, I pray we give with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Right. Amen. A couple of quick announcements. Students, if you're a teenager and you've never been with us on Wednesday nights, we meet upstairs in the loft, which is in the other building, 6:30 to 7:30. We have a great time, student-led worship. I give a little message. It's a great opportunity to come and hang out with friends and be there, but we'd love to invite you to come and be with us on Wednesday nights. If you're planning on going to Passion Camp, your second payment is due. I just broke those up for you guys. Parents are like, oh my gosh, I can't get it. It's okay. I just broke it up to try to make it reasonable. And so if you can get that in, that'd be great. That way we make sure we have a payment for everybody who's going. Tonight, college students, EDGE, that's college students, and any seniors in high school. We've opened it up to seniors at this point. So any seniors in high school who want to come, there's free pizza at my house tonight. You want to get students to come, you give free food. Right, moms and dads. Okay, I'll feed your high school seniors and college students tonight. We'll take care of them. Okay, my house, 6 o'clock for Bible study. It's a great time for college students to come and be a part of that. We would love for you to do that. If you have an opportunity, I know everybody gets on their devices about this point in time because you know it's over. Right, go to Facebook, like the Facebook page. Share the Facebook video. We've had several people that we don't even know are connecting with us from Pennsylvania and from Oregon and from Washington State. And so from all over the country, just joining in because y'all, they're friends of you guys. And so continue to do that. We take that as a great ministry. Me and Paul Flato, we're back there ministering to them, praying for them, loving on them, doing what we can through the digital world, which is insane. that you can connect that way. But take an opportunity and just share that. Go on there. And if you miss a Sunday, log on. We'd love to see you guys and say hey to you. But thank you so much, Pastor Trey.
Yep. A couple of quick things. We did finish our first taping of for Grace Academy. We finished it last Wednesday night, and we had a test on the Gospels, right, guys, who were there? It wasn't that hard. Want to encourage you, in 3 weeks, we'll be starting the book of Acts. It'll take us about anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks to get through that. It'll be a wonderful time. We meet in here. What we're doing with these is, come fall, we're starting a YouTube channel, and it'll be sort of like an academy where people can sign up. They can look, it's free. They can sign up, get on it, and they can go through a sort of a survey of the Old Testament, survey of the New Testament, and then some specific theological stuff that we're doing. And you coming and going through it really helps. If you go through the whole thing, we'll get you a certificate that you've completed that. It'll help your biblical knowledge. It's great discussion. Also, at the end, it'll be the book of Acts. If you've wondered about these questions, demons, possession, tongues, miracles, if you've wondered about those things, the book of Acts is where it all starts, and we talk about it. So I want to encourage you to come and talk about the book of Acts and what happens through that. So encourage you. It'll be 3 weeks. We'll be advertising it. Do that. Also, we have a ministry partner class this Wednesday night. If you've not been given an opportunity to become part of our fellowship, and you need to and want to, we're going to be doing that on Wednesday night. We will be having kids ministry. My wife's going to be filling in because Beth's going to be coming to the partnership class. So that is awesome. So please come to the partnership class. It's going to be in the chapel. If you don't know where the chapel is, straight down that hall to the left, there's a door that says chapel. We're clever like that, right? All right, so there's a door that says chapel. It'll be right in there, and that's where it'll be, a little bit smaller room than here. So I want to encourage you to be part of that. Also, we have a partnership class scheduled for the 23rd. Again, how do you do that? You sign up right here. Before you leave today, if you're going to be a part of that class, please just fill it out. Check the box right here. There's a box right here. And put it in one of those metal boxes so we have a record that you're going to be coming. That really helps us manage that better. So if you're coming to the partnership class, please do that. Miss Denise. Any other announcements I'm forgetting, which is not abnormal? Anything else? Hey, you are loved by your Heavenly Father right where you are. Regardless of what you're going through or been through or will go through, God loves you. He wants to walk with you. All you got to do is reach out and invite Him in. I promise you, He'll come in and change your life forever. Stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for today. We thank you for your kindness and your goodness. And now, Lord, I pray for those who have come to know you today. They prayed to receive you, that they'll take the step forward just right now in a minute and take that next step of baptism so we can just close that loop with them. And Father, for those who whose 18 was bad, it just wasn't good, I pray their 19 is going to be just phenomenally great. Lord, help us to make big things small when you do. Help us to deny ourselves so we can embrace you. And help us to surrender our time, knowing that each and every moment is designed and defined by you. So help us to surrender that time to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. See you next week. Bring somebody with you. Please. Please, please.
My name is regret. Our name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back.